All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke and chapter number 15. I do want to say thank you for all of the graciousness that we have felt. We feel quite at home. As Brother Scott has said, we've known each other so long, and whenever we come together, it's just like we hadn't been apart. That's what friendship's all about. But we mark it on our calendar. We're always thrilled to be able to come this way. We're in normally some 70 churches every year. The Lord's opened a lot of doors, but none any more blessed than Holly Springs. So we want to say thank you. What a blessing you are while we're here and then while we're on the road. Every month you help us as we travel to carry this gospel. And we thank you for that. We'd ask of all things that you'd pray for us as we travel for this matter of freshness. If you do anything enough, there is that tendency for it to get stale. I don't even preach it. And so you pray for us that our hearts will stay alive so that everywhere we go, we can give the message that will help the saints and point sinners to Christ. I was thinking about my grandson, Malachi, when he was about 3 years old, he was with us in a meeting. And his father's a pastor. He's used to going to church, but not like we do. And so we was in church all that week. And I remember the first night, Esther, Ma E, or Mama E, they call her, was in there getting him ready. He said, "Ma E," as only a three-year-old could say, "where we going?" She said, "Well, we're going to church." Got him ready. We went to church. The next night, I heard just before, time to go to church, she's getting him ready, and he said, "Ma E, where we going?" She said, "We're going to church." We went to church. And the last night, she's in there getting him ready, and he said, "Ma, where we going?" And she said, "We're going to church." He broke down crying. He said, "I don't want to go to church." I was in the other room crying. I said, "I don't want to go either, but I have to." So you pray that we'll remain fresh. I figured out something about this front row here. They're not a member of the Sanhedrin and all that other stuff. They're gospel hogs. I mean, they just sit, I don't know if y'all get any of it or not. They're just chewing it all up right here in the front, wallowing in it. But I'm going to tell you, a preacher loves to preach to that. This doesn't exist in many places. And I'm going to tell you, this choir, this singing, what a blessing. Y'all have really, really, really been blessed. And we feel blessed to be able to come and be a part of it. I'm glad Esther's been able to come. Of course, she always does. I can't get there if she don't drive me. She does all the driving. She told me the other day for the first time why she married me. I said, "Well, why?" She said, "It's your brains." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, it's the little things in life that counts." But she's a good driver. I was reading over there, preaching out of Acts 27 a couple of weeks ago, where it was in that storm in the ship, and it said they let her drive. I never have found out who her was, but then he go down a couple of verses and said all hope that we should be saved was lost. So I hadn't felt that. She is a good driver. Luke 15, We'll read verse 1 down through verse number 7. We have been looking at this matter of the parables. Simply means to lay objects down or thrust them down to see what is in one that may be in the other. As Jesus did in all the some 40 odd parables, he reaches out and grabs worlds and lays them down so we can see heavenly truths in earthly stories. Not bedtime stories, not for entertainment, but life-changing. Of course, he always begins where you're at. He begins in the natural. The natural has to happen. We may not like some of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but it's got to be. Because it's in the midst of the natural that he shows you the spiritual. Amen. It is in this world that he comes to let you know that there is another world. But he wants you to see it where you're at. That through that natural birth, there's a spiritual birth. Through that natural wind, there is a spirit wind, and so on. But in those parables, he lays down not only the world of the natural and the world of the spiritual, but he lays down the world of the individual or personal. He, in those parables, he will. As we looked last night, you will find yourself in that parable. And that's when it applies to you and it affects you. But the last thing that you find in all the parables is God. You find the eternal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost will be in there somewhere saying, hey, I want you to see me. And as I have said, I will say tonight, there is a sense in which all of us are short stories. We all are parables made up. But what Jesus wants to do is come into your parable, into your short story, and bring a heavenly meaning. We have noticed the world of grace that he points us to. The world of a treasure that we have in him. And then last night, as the prodigal son began to realize this world of enough. But he's pointing that out where you live. He's pointing that out in your life, in your parable, and in your short story. But tonight I want us to focus on verse 1, as I say, down through verse number 7. And I want us to look at this, what I call the world of faithfulness. We're going to notice this shepherd and how that he operates with his sheep faithfully, one on one. I would narrow it down and say that the world of the shepherd is a world of one on one. And as Paul said, that I might know him. It is a one on one experience. We want to know him personally, but thank God he knows us individually. The Christian life is a one-on-one experience. David said so in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes on to tell us that he leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He prepareth the table before me. In other words, the 23rd Psalm is a he and me psalm. A he and me psalm. And I'm glad that that psalm not only belonged to David, but thank God it belonged to me. Because it's he and me. And it is me and him as we journey along. So let's look at this psalm, or this parable. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans. Now that's not Republicans. Because you know who the sinners are. for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. Now he's going to bring these worlds and lay them down. What man of you, having 100 sheep, or entered into the world of the shepherd, if he lose, how many?
One.
The one-on-one emphasis of them. Doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over how many? One sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now we know who this shepherd is. John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. 1 Peter 5:5, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. Hebrews 13:20, the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd in this day. But I want you to know he's the only shepherd of his sheep. There is no other. But I would emphasize to you that the thing about this shepherd, as is in a sense of all shepherds, he is faithful. Of all the metaphors and similes and types and likenesses of Jesus in the Bible, none display his faithfulness any more than the shepherd does. Put the shepherd up against any other, and none can outshine him in his faithfulness to the sheep. Being the shepherd separates him from all of the rest. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Aren't you glad that your shepherd is faithful? I'm glad that he's faithful to the flock, but I'm glad that he's faithful to the one. No matter what takes place, this text is not emphasizing my faithfulness to him. Though there is a responsibility, we should be faithful to him, but don't we fail so much? But thank God it is emphasizing the one-on-one. This is not an in general faithfulness. This is not a group faithfulness. It is a one-on-one faithfulness. And that he is going to be faithful to every one of us. And he will leave none of us out in his faithfulness. He will be as dedicated to getting you home as he was to getting Paul home. He will be as emphatic about getting me home as he was getting James home. He's about the one who's a part of his flock. And I'm so glad that he ministers to our hearts one on one. Ezekiel illustrates his faithfulness. The Lord is speaking, talking about the shepherd. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pastures and high mountains. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. That is a good shepherd. That is our chief shepherd, thank God. That is our great shepherd. The world of one-on-one, the faithfulness. We have a relationship with one like none other. And thank God we are able to experience that, each one of us, in an individual way. But is it not true that all relationships are established and developed one on one? Family relationships as to a father and a son or a mother and a daughter. Friendships, they are one on one. And I'm glad that we got a shepherd that is intensely and intently focused on the one. So when I lie down at night, I know he's thinking of me. When I rise in the morning, I know he's thinking of me. And whatever I'm going through in my little parable and in my little world and in my short story, thank God he's thinking of me and you. No matter where you're at. Because that is how faithful he is. Ooh, I love that, don't you? Now, three things I would say to you tonight about this matter of the one-on-one faithfulness of the shepherd. First of all, I would emphasize the faithfulness of his association to us. Though sheep be dumb, though they be without great intellect, have no defenses, no directions, yet he is not embarrassed to say, I am the shepherd of the sheep. And he is, thank God, I said, the shepherd and only shepherd of the sheep. But it is so, and I focus on this one-on-one. He is faithful in his association with the sheep because he is one shepherd of the sheep. One shepherd of the sheep. Now let me magnify that for a moment. Did you know being a shepherd was his chosen title? It was an humble title. We understand that from Samuel when he anoints David. He has to go through all the other previous boys of Jesse. None of them are the one. And he says to him, you must have another one. God has sent me to anoint one. He said, yeah, but he's up there tending the sheep. As if it's a low class. Anybody, in other words, can do that, he's thinking. But yeah, when Jesus came into this world, the title that he seemed to hold closest to his heart was that of being a shepherd of sheep. He wanted to do that job himself. He would not designate it to any other. There was no angel qualified who would give himself in faithfulness like he would. And so therefore he took the job himself. though he had all of these other things that he has created, the worlds that we don't even know anything about, he said, I'm going to tell you, primarily, I'm going to be the shepherd. We are not his secondary job. We are his primary purpose and care as far as the sheep are concerned. It was his chosen profession, his title. Not only that, it was his consistent title. David said way back in the Psalms, as I said to you, the Lord is. That is present tense. It's also in the imperfect tense, which means it never stops being. So when we go to get to the New Testament, he's still saying, I am the shepherd. And indicates throughout the scriptures that he will always be the shepherd of the sheep. He will never step down from that occupation of tending to the sheep. One shepherd tending to the sheep, one on one, because he's one of the sheep in his chosen title, in his consistent title. I was talking to a chicken farmer who's also a pastor years ago, and he was taking me through the apparatus of the chicken farming business. And of course now it's all high tech and computerized, and those computers have to keep it so cool and so warm depending on the weather. Dictates how much food they get according to the age that they are. Everything has to be just right, because they get those little bitties in when they're very small, and they'll keep them 59 days, and they hope to have them at 5 to 7 pounds before they come and get them. And as he was telling me about the details, he of course his telephone was connected up to the computer so that if something went wrong, he could hurriedly correct it, because if he didn't, he would lose a lot of chickens. And he said to me, Brother Dana, I'm going to tell you something. I have to think chicken so much that sometimes when I lay down, I mean, I've got to think about the heat, I've got to think about the cold, I've got to think about animals getting in to prey on them, I've got to think about the water, I've got to think. He said, I'm thinking about chickens. When I lay down at night, I feel like I am a chicken. But if any of those chickens are going to survive, somebody's got to focus on it. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's what qualifies Jesus as being the shepherd. Is that he, before he ever became a shepherd, was a sheep. He was a sheep before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Isaiah said that he was as a lamb that opened not its mouth in judgment. He's not always been the shepherd. He's always been a sheep. That's why he can relate to you. That's why he can relate to me. It's because he came into this world to be who you are. And you be who he is. So that he would know what you're going through. He would know what the good, the bad, and the ugly of this world that you experience. He will have experienced himself. He knows how that sheep feels, because he has felt it. It's not only his chosen and consistent title, it's his consuming, it is his passion, so much so that he is
Amen.
A sheep.
Amen.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's what he was, that's what he is, And that's why, what he always will be. And that's why there's nothing fake about his care for you. And that's why he wants to make it one-on-one in his faithfulness, because he himself is one of you. Huh? You know, I guess that's the only saving factor as far as raising children. They can be so dumb. Can't they? You just look at them and say, Years ago, we bricked the fellowship building of the little church I pastored up in the mountains. Just had bricked it. I was away at the hospital and come by. And my son was probably 7 years old or something like that. He went and got a gallon of paint and was painting the brick. I'm thinking, son, that's why we put it there. We don't have to. Whoa! You know what? The only thing on several occasions kept me from killing them youngins is because I was one at one time. And I saw myself in them. And I began to think, you know, that's probably exactly the same thing I would have done. Somebody said, we only get a chance to experience this thing of having youngins and raising them once. No, you get two chances. You came through, and now you're taking them through. But thank God you did. Because that's what preserves them. Oh, I'm talking about this matter of the world of faithfulness. It's a one-on-one thing. He is the one shepherd who is a part of the sheep. He knows their heartbeat. He knows their cares. He knows their troubles. He knows their fears. He knows how to respond to them in any situation. Do you have a shepherd like that? So that there's nowhere you can be and nothing you can go through that he already can't comfort you in that. And that's why he's the only one that can do that. Because he's the only one that knows how to do that. Faithfulness in his association with the sheep, he's one of them. The second thing I would point out to you that I find in this text is in this world of faithfulness, the shepherd one-on-one, we notice from the text, verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one? Now, you know, in any business, I don't know that wouldn't be a percentage that a businessman wouldn't be happy with if you just lost 1%. 1%. But he said if he loses one, when you go down in verse number 7, I say to you, likewise joy in heaven over the one. Jesus is not looking at the church as if it's a corporation. But he's looking at all of us as individuals. So much so that he is focused and he is concerned about the one. And I'm glad he is. The one. The same fella that was schooling me on chickens. Do y'all have chicken farms up here? Don't. According to him, you ought to be thankful. I don't know. But I said to him one day, I said, what is the percentage of loss that would be acceptable to you as a chicken farmer? From the day you get these little bitties to the day they pick them up, thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of them, five houses full of them. And every day, every morning, they have to go in there and carry out dead chickens for one reason or another. I said, but what is the acceptable percentage of those chickens that you're going to be satisfied with? He said, a chicken farmer, including myself, will be satisfied with 3 to 5% loss. But now you get to multiplying 3 to 5% times 200,000, that's a lot of dead chickens. And when he said that to me, I was thinking about this parable here. And I was thinking about if we was to ask our shepherd, of all the sheep that you have, what is the percentage of loss that you would accept and would not trouble you? And you know what he said? Zero. I will not accept the loss of one because I'm interested not in the lot but in the one. The number. One is the number. And there is one who has the need. There is one with a name that he knows. There's 99 and then the one. The number one is the sheep that is lost. The shepherd calculates from his heart. No one sees and calculates numbers like he does. Lost, he said. Lost. Now they have said to him, the religious crowd has said to him, the problem is they're sinners, and they were. But he said, no, I want to say to you, in my sight, they're lost. Aren't you glad he saw you lost? And being lost, there was no hope that you could ever find your way back. This sheep could not find his way back. Now, lost, when we use that word, it puts value on what you're talking about. For instance, I've never lost a penny. I have never lost a penny. Now, I've dropped pennies. I've watched them roll around under something. I've been counting my change and it fall out of my hand. And I don't know what you think about this, but I've never seen a penny that I felt like was worth me going all the way down to get it. I mean, look at me. I'm 68 years old. And if I got to go down, somebody said old age is when you have to bend down, you stay there a while to find out if there's anything else you need to get while you're down there. But I'm better than that. At my age, if I drop something, I don't go down to get it. I look around and see if there's anybody else that'll go down for me. But I'm going to tell you something I have lost. I've lost a $20 bill before. And man, you talking about tearing the pockets off of my suits to find that $20 bill. And if I say ever have 100 and lost it, I commit suicide, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if I was in the middle of the interstate and a $100 bill blew out of my hand, I'd run in front of tractors and trailers. That's how important it is to me. Some things you won't even classify as lost. Other things, they're lost. They have value to you. And Jesus said, I want you to know, my sheep, I've got one out there, and he's lost. And I'm concerned about the one. I'm glad he was concerned. I'm glad he died for me. And he died for you. Though he died for the world, he died for all of us one at a time. I remember being down on the coast many years ago as a 17-year-old boy. Big old man had a boat, and he was a shrimper. He'd go out and get shrimp and sell them. Before that day, we were at his house, but it was right there on the coast. His land went down to the Gulf. We were having a big time. Having a good meal. And all of a sudden, somebody ran into the house, and I don't know the name of the little kid, but evidently he's 2 or 3 years old, said, he's gone, we can't find him. And of course, the alarming thing is it's so close to the water. The Gulf is right there, joins their land. And I'm going to tell you something, everything shut down. The meal was no longer important. The time of the hour is no longer important. The one thing on the mind was there's a boy out there and we ain't going to do nothing until we find the boy. And the only thing that they did prior, he said, before we do anything, let's get on our knees and go to our Lord in prayer. He knows where he's at. And they prayed, and then we went out hunting for the boy. Good news, we found him. And you know what we did? We come back in the house and rejoiced and ate flounder and the shrimp and all that other stuff. One shut everything down because of the value of that one. Oh, I'm here to tell you, that's how valuable you are to him. That, did you know he created this whole world? He had you in mind. The very plan of salvation, he had you in mind. One on one. He is faithful. And that he is one-on-one. He's one of the sheep in his faithfulness. But thank God he is one shepherd going after one sheep. Wow. Going after one sheep. The story was told of a little girl walking along the beach who discovered hundreds and thousands of starfish washed up on the shore, dying. She was alarmed. So for an hour or two, while her mother was sitting there, she ran and threw as many as she could back into the water. She got done, and her mom said, "Honey, why did you waste your time doing that? You were only able, what difference did it make for the few that you were able to throw back in?" And she said, "It made a difference to everyone that I threw back in." And oh, didn't it make a difference when he came to the one, when he came to you, and he came to me. He's one shepherd. Think about that. One shepherd. When Jesus saved me, he saved me one-on-one. Matter of fact, there wasn't nobody else even near the spot when I got saved. But hey, if there's 10,000 down here getting saved, he still saved you one on one. He made the distance one on one to get you, and it reveals the world. Thank God he wants us to see that in our little world, in our little parable, in our little story, that there is the world of his faithfulness where you're at. Because he's one of you, and thank God he's one that came after you. But I have you to notice with me, lastly, I'm talking about the faithfulness of our shepherd one-on-one. His faithfulness is seen in the fact that he is one shepherd. We notice with one sheep, going to one place to do one thing. That's what we all have in common. It is here we see his affection and his love for these sheep, that he's going to get them, and then he's going to bring them. And thank God he's going to take them all the way. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Isn't he faithful? 53 years I have known him as my shepherd. And I want you to know he has been faithful. He was faithful amidst the elements as he goes after the one sheep, going to one place to do one thing. He is faithful in the face of the enemy. He is faithful in the use of his energy. He is faithful in spite of the erring and prone to wander sheep who is in the wilderness, in a place of loneliness, deserted and forsaken and orphaned, so to speak. He is faithful in spite of the estimations of others who in our text say that they are just sinners. They are without. They are without pastor. He is without peace. He's without protection. He's in danger of being wounded. This sheep could be hurt badly. He's come to the place that where he's at, he is worthless to everybody. Somebody gave, not this one, a pen. I love pens because I lose pens. I do lose those. The only thing is I don't find them. But someone gave us a nice pen, Esther and myself, a nice pen. And I'm thankful for it. But you know, when I lose a pen, no matter where that pen's at, if I don't find it, it becomes useless. Wherever it lies, in whatever situation, it is useless. What the shepherd's full intention is to so work in your life and so find you and so restore you and so bring you back to where you will feel your usefulness, again. And the fact that you are no longer one who is out there with no value. You have been restored, the one who has been brought all the way home. Now, I understand it is this sheep that got in this shape. And that's true for all of us. This sheep is the one who has wandered from the fold. But though he has, we find the shepherd in this text leaving to go get him. We find the shepherd in this text looking. We find the shepherd in this text listening. We find the shepherd in this text leaning. And we find the shepherd in this text lifting. He brings that one sheep that he has gone to himself and brings him so close that there's hardly any distinction between the shepherd and the sheep now. They're going back as one. And here he goes. He takes this rambling sheep, wandering sheep, and puts him on the weight of his shoulders. You know, Isaiah lets us know how big his shoulders are. I mean, he carries the weight of the government upon his shoulders. You talking about strong shoulders. Shoulders of strength. This is not just anybody coming after this sheep. This is the shepherd. And he takes that sheep and puts him upon the one shepherd, has the one sheep, and he is on his shoulders. Those shoulders indicate the security that you could find there, the safety that is there. And what his full intention is, he's going to take him all the way to the house. One shepherd going after one sheep. One shepherd and one sheep going to one place to do one thing. Because there is now this singularity of oneness. Now, I was talking to a preacher, and he said to me, Brother Dana, and he's a godly man, I've preached for him for years. He said, Brother Dana, I got so depressed and so down at one time in my life. He said, I couldn't feel the presence of the Lord anywhere. Pastor in the church. And he said, it seemed as though oppression was coming on me all the time. And he said, the one thing that I heard out of that oppression was this. He said, there would be a voice speak out of it. Not a vocal voice, but a voice out of that spirit would say, if you'll deny Jesus, I'll leave you alone. You'd have to know this man. I mean, a godly man. And he said, I so wrestled with that weight of darkness that was upon me. A Christian, a child of God. And he said, the oppression just kept coming. I could get no light. I could get no lift. And every time he'd say to me, deny him, deny him, and I will leave you alone. He said, Brother Dana, and I don't know that I would have told this. He said, I'm ashamed of it, but he said, one night, sitting in all that darkness, as low as I could be, I said, okay, devil, I deny him. Amen. He said, I was sitting there, and he said, all of a sudden, the Lord showed up. Said, I hadn't been able to get a hold of him. And he said, the first thing he said to me, he said, do you notice nothing happened? He said, yeah. He said, because you may deny me, but I cannot deny you. Amen. And said, he pulled me out of all of that darkness and all that depression, because I found out even when I could not be faithful, he would remain faithful. And I want to say to you, children of God, it ain't bad getting home on his shoulders. But there are going to be times in all of our lives when we're going to need somebody to come. We're going to need the shepherd to come and lift us up and put us on his shoulder and carry us. Can you imagine that sheep being carried all the way home? And when they get there, he said, okay, I got him home. Let's all get together and rejoice.
Yes.
Over the what?
Amen.
One.
Amen. Yes.
See, he's so intent on getting the one home. Huh? He's taking us all. As he took David to the house of the Lord, he's taking us in a oneness. As he prayed to the Father, he said, Father, I want them to be one with us even as we are one. He said, I don't want this to be a group in heaven. I want it to be one. The faithfulness of the shepherd is in the fact that he's got his focus on the individual, on the one. Intent on saving us and taking us home. Now, I want us to think about this as I close. I've heard many people say or describe when we get to heaven, in a joking way, that Simon Peter will be waiting at the gate. I said, no, Simon Peter ain't going to be waiting at no gate for me. You say, why? Because they'll know who I am when I get there. I will be no surprise to heaven. Because, you see, it's going to be me and the shepherd's going to go through the gate together. Huh? And I don't need no Simon Peter to take. Now, I've got nothing against Simon. But I don't need no Simon Peter to take me all through heaven and introduce me to everybody. I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus in this life promised me, as he did for those sheep, that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I don't go to church to get with Jesus. He comes to church with me. And when this service is all over, he's going back with me. Matter of fact, everywhere I go, he goes. And do you think when I get in heaven that it's going to be a less relationship than that, that he's somewhere sitting over there and I got to go through some kind of program to get to him and he's got somebody to show me all over heaven? No! You know what heaven's going to be? It's going to be the shepherd and one sheep going around greeting the shepherd and the other sheep. It's going to be me and Jesus coming to visit you and Jesus. Because everything he does one-on-one. And that's why we don't listen to the voices of this world. The thing that determines every Christian's life is the voice of the shepherd, one-on-one.
Amen. Yes.
I'm not preaching because a committee got together and said, hey, we think you'd do all right with preaching. I'm preaching because the shepherd came and said, here's what I want you to do. We're not traveling across the country in evangelism because somehow we failed as a pastor. No. He came one-on-one and he said, this is exactly what I want you to do. Amen. Yeah. And he said, by the way, I ain't never going to leave you now. Every mile you travel, I'll go with you. Because he said, I got full intention to get you all the way to the house of the Lord. But there is a sense now that he carries us all in. Don't you think?
Sure.
There is a sense in which he has us all on his shoulders. And he's not bent double. He's not breathing deep. He hasn't had COVID. He's the one shepherd that can carry us all the way. And when we get to glory, thank God it's going to be a one-on-one. And how faithful he has been as our shepherd, one on one. Let's stand. I love how he embraced the sheep, he embodied the sheep, and he enjoyed the sheep. He loves the sheep. I'll ask my wife if she will come. He has taken us into the world. Now listen, children. Don't you try to live this Christian life off of your perfection or your faithfulness. But what he wants to do is bring in a heavenly meaning to your earthly story, but letting you realize that he's here with you to make sure that we all make it home. And what a day that's going to be. You listen as she sings.
In my moments of fear, through every pain and every tear, my Heavenly Father has been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he has promised is true.
It's true.
And what I thought was impossible, awesome, I see my God do. He's been faithful to me. Looking back, His love and His mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, I've even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful. He's been faithful to me. When my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my Father has been faithful to me. The days I've spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, even then God was faithful to me. Every time I come back to Him, I find He's waiting with open arms, and I see once again.
Oh, listen
now. He's been faithful.
Oh, yes, He has.
He's been faithful to me. Looking back, His love and His mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, and I've even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to me.
If you knew me like I've known me over the past 53 years, you may not even want to hear me preach. But now don't turn your halo up. If I knew you like you know you, I might get my Bible and run. But I do want to tell you this much I know. In all of these years, and I say this with a whole heart, look at me when I tell you this. There is no exaggeration in it. I cannot point to the time in my life where I concluded He was not faithful to me.
Amen.
I could point at a lot of times that I felt like I wasn't deserving. He wasn't going after that sheep because that sheep had somehow gotten out of the way. He went after that sheep when He knew that sheep had directly left.
Yeah.
Hey, He's going to be faithful to you. But in your world, recognize His faithfulness. And rest in the assurance that it is His faithfulness that will get you all the way to the house of the Lord. The one. And I'm glad I'm the one.
Amen. He's faithful because He's such an intimate shepherd. Now I can add something, but only I can add it because I grew up raising sheep. So when you use this next time, you don't even have to give me credit.
Okay.
You notice the shepherd wasn't having to count in the text. Oh, just 99. I must be missing one. No, shepherd just views the flock and knows immediately one is gone. Now, I never had 100 sheep at a time. About the most I ever had was about 40. It doesn't seem like a lot, but if you've ever sheared one sheep, 40's a lot of sheep. And they would often, they look the same to most people. But every one looked different to me. And I could pull in the driveway or come around the curve and look over the hill and down through the field, and I could tell if all of them were there or not. I didn't have to count. I know the ones that huddled together. I know the ones that kind of stayed by themselves. I could look and know immediately. That's because I fed them, birthed them, walked and lived among them. Now, if a little peon like me could have that intimacy and knowledge, what a shepherd, what a God. He knows you and knows you intimately. That's why he's so faithful, to provide what you need, to provide what you need even before you ask, because he knows, amen. What a shepherd, what a God, that is interested in the one. Don't you appreciate the preaching of the word of God, amen. How we thank the Lord for using his man this week. And it's been a blessing to have him, been a blessing to have Miss Dana, amen, as well. If he gets straight sometime, we'll just have Miss Dana back to do the singing, amen. Hallelujah. Been a blessing. I want to encourage you to speak to them. Let him know how the Lord used the word this week. I remind you, the offering plates. He's got his eye on a new motorcycle, so you give to the man of God, amen. But we thank him for coming this way. Now, it'll be 2 years before he's back, but it'll be this same week. I think it's the 7th through the 10th. I believe that's right. We got that nailed down today, amen. But my, how God has helped us. Father, thank you for taking the man of God and the word of God and applying them to our hearts and our lives, not just as a church, but as individual sheep. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. Keep your hand upon him and upon Miss Esther as well. In your holy name we pray, amen and amen. Shake hands, you go. Greet the man of God. Come Sunday looking for the Lord, amen.